It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 924.
Happy hump day, Gronks. What's happening? What is going on?
It's the 25th of November, which means one month until Christmas.
Wow, it is. I mean, my son's been waking up every morning. Mm-hmm. It's because when I put him to bed, I whisper in his ear and I just say, we're going to Nana's at Christmas and we're doing a drive, we're doing a road trip. I go through the whole day of what it'll look like.
Every night. Staying.
I have for the last couple of nights, but the problem is he wakes up saying, are we going to Nana's now? So it's, no son, another couple of weeks. Mate, it is nearly the end of the year.
I can't see the end. Can you, like, it's this weird feeling where I know that there's only, you know, we've only got 3 or 4 weeks until it's sort of like, you know, everyone's on leave.
Yeah.
It feels a bit ridiculous.
Right now, people have got a lot of momentum, if they've had any in Melbourne, just based on it opening up. So, you're feeling like there's not going to be a slowdown again because we've been so slow this year. Mm-hmm. Andy has written in the YouTube comments quite a fun little quirky anecdote or sort of little thing. I want to read it out.
Like a riddle, maybe? A
riddle. Well, he says, 20 years ago, we had Johnny Cash, Bob Hope and Steve Jobs. Now we have no cash, no hope, and no jobs. Please don't let Kevin Bacon die. I know the Kevin Bacon thing has just been referenced many times. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I thought it was more bacon, like don't get rid of bacon.
Ah. Well, Kevin Bacon is like that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon is a thing.
Yeah, so but I thought that it could. So if you think about it, it's all about the last names. So Johnny Cash, Bob Hope.
Yeah,
Steve,
I get those.
Jobs.
I get those. Cash,
Kevin
Jobs.
Bacon.
No cash, no hope, no jobs.
No bacon.
Which is very relevant to this year. But then I just looked up anecdotes or quotes reflecting this year, so 2020, which is kind of what you're saying. It says, one of them I found, 1977, they used to say staying alive. 2020, staying alive. What's another one? 2020 verb, when you screw things up beyond belief. Example, Chad's car hit a pole and knocked out power. And, well, long story short, the 2020'd
memes?
And now a giant squad is destroying the city. Yeah.
All right, two memes from... Should we do a meme a day?
Well, it depends. I mean, I mean,
they're going over my head a little bit. Like, it's very hard without the visual. I did see a funny meme.
Oh, no. These are text memes, not, you know, photo memes.
Yeah, I would sure. Yeah, I would expect sort of, if you're doing photo memes, you would describe the visual.
You'd have to. 2020 is every Nick Cage movie without Nick Cage. I mean, they go very bespoke, don't they? Mm-hmm. I can't believe this even has its own
website.
Can you
do one to try? Can you try and make me laugh? Can you try and tell a joke or?
Nah, I got nothing. we should have stopped at Andy's. To be honest, that was a good one.
There was a funny meme that I saw yesterday, which was a screen grab of Excel. The spreadsheet software.
Yeah.
And it was a tweet. And then it said, Excel finally has stories, like with a love heart. And it's got like the store, like Insta stories on top of Excel, which is very funny because LinkedIn, everyone's doing stories now.
Ah, yeah.
See, it's very hard to explain a meme. That's a very funny meme.
Yeah. I mean, there's something about memes that you, I mean, they're just a visual.
Where do you send them to? If you get a funny meme, Where do you send it to? Do you have like a group that you send it to, or
just trying to think if I've seen, because that was such a thing. Mm-hmm. I reckon it was like a 2012 for me, 2013, 2014, mm-hmm. like abusive, the amount of memes you'd send to friends mm-hmm. or people. Like I send videos these days. Like for instance, I follow this Instagram account called Mad Monday 365. And it's like an Australian page sent around Mad Monday, which is the loose units who have played footy or rugby, the Monday after the season finishes, they go hell for leather. Or if they've lost and they're out of the finals, they go, you know, Monday, they just, I don't know why they chose Monday, but it's quite famous, you know, in Victoria especially, and around Australia, but there's just video.
Is it Monday, they pick Monday because it's the first weekday off? Like the grand finals finished. What else are they going to do?
It's like an RDO. Why is a rostered day off in the tradie world falls on a Monday? It's like a legit thing. Every fortnight or every month you get an RDO. And I don't know why it falls on a Monday. It's just for the weekend, I guess. But why Monday? Look, that's semantics. The page just has funny stuff of like just two girls trying to fight a police officer on St Kilda Beach and they're in G-strings and they're getting pepper sprayed. It's hilarious. Really? And there's just, you just see everyone just in the background just clapping the police. Like, it's, but it's kind of like the worst of the worst. Just
you definitely can feral. Work out, you can sort of, in the suggested section of Instagram, you can see when you've been active on the daily talk show.
Oh, no, this is mine. This is on my page.
No, but I mean,
I'm sending these to my brother.
But I think that the residual effect of you spending any time on the daily talk show does have some form of impact. A lot of lifting weights as well. Yeah, there's a lot.
We follow a few people. So there's a guy, Callum von Morgan, who looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's built like a brick shit house like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Grew up in Victoria, just down the coast, but he's quite a successful bodybuilder. He lives over in the States. But the problem is, you follow one of them, and if you're looking through their stuff. It is a weird thing, like dudes into bodybuilders just admiring a man's physique.
You followed him.
Yeah, no, exactly right. You know, when I worked in gyms, hung around with serious bodybuilders, some who had won, you know.
What's the first thing you look for?
Depends on, you know, the symmetry. Symmetry.
So you want to make sure that his left bicep is as big as his right? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the sign of a good physique. You don't have some upper torso that looks like a fucking, you know, a stingray sprawled out, and then the legs are just looking like pins.
Okay,
So maybe I was watching yesterday this guy who's he had a video called show me another bodybuilder / strongman doing this. And then it was just him doing backflips and just shit that you wouldn't think a muscly guy would be doing.
Yeah.
He's like ginormous. Anyway, another guy I follow, Atif. Atif, I think it is.
What's your favorite feature about Atif?
Well, Atif I met, he was, I don't think he does anymore, he was a ticket inspector.
Oh, yeah.
The people you don't like, the people you don't want just rocking up to your car and putting a ticket on when you've just run in to get a coffee. Next minute, you've paid $98 for the coffee. But if you came back to your car and a TIF was putting a ticket on your car, you would keep your fucking mouth shut because a TIF is a pro bodybuilder. You have to win your pro card as a... So, you go through some sort of smaller competitions, but then you can enter it. You know, you might qualify for a competition that if you win, you get your pro card. And I've got some friends that have got pro cards, and Atif, who I quickly became friends with based on you not wanting to fuck with him. He was the friendliest dude, though. He'd be walking around always smiling, just like he's just ginormous, guns out, just, you know, putting tickets on people's cars. And then I sort of became friends with him, saw him at Nando's once, had a good chat, made some banter about how he was eating two whole chickens. You know, but then I follow him, and so if I'm looking through his stuff, yeah, he seems good. He seems big. Yeah. He seems ginormous. Not in the ticket game anymore.
What do you think? What impresses you the most, though? Like, if you were to say a guy, like if you were to your favorite feature on a guy. Don't be silly about it. What
you no,
because this is you. This is what you stop trying to move away from. No, you do, mate. You're the one that is on Instagram. Look like there's just
yeah.
No, what is your favorite feature?
Quads are great. Like if you've got a good set of quads, you know, it's and you can see all four of the muscles.
Yeah.
You know, like it's that's nice. Also, a good chest. Just
like it's Mason. Mason talks about his chest a lot.
Yeah, Mason's still got a baby chest though. He hasn't conformed yet. Mm-hmm. Like, give it a couple of years of some heavy lifting and it'll pop out. But chest and delts. Chest and delts. I mean, I also admire a good back. Really seeing the rhomboids. If you can see your rhomboids.
Mm-hmm. Geez, you know, for a guy who was pushing back on it, you've named a fair few bits. What about calf muscles?
Yeah. I mean, an impressive pair of calves is impressive. That's why it's you'd label it impressive. But look, it doesn't – I mean,
doesn't
you can be
you.
Overweight and have good calves.
Yeah, sure. Which I've definitely felt thing. Because of the because I'm essentially just walking around with weights type of thing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's abs as well.
You like abs?
It's you end up just describing the physique you could never have, but you want for yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I sent Mason a meme last night. It's someone doing a tweet and says, "You either learn to drive at 17 or / 18, or you're pretty." Which I thought was
well. We know which one he's
yeah,
got.
Yeah. Mason's very pretty.
He's a pretty boy. No, he's not a pretty boy. He's pretty, and he's a boy. So he is a pretty boy, actually. No, just on 2020, what a year. What a year. Listening to some sort of some of my meditation stuff, and a good thought is what if you had nothing to solve? So you wake up and you constantly, like, it's either problem solving, or if you're lost in thought, you're thinking about stuff that isn't right, what you want to do. And I've just found this quite powerful, which is why I wanted to share with you. It's like, thinking, having a moment, and it's not to say that you actually don't have anything to solve, because you might have some shit, especially if you're a maths teacher, you know, or if you're doing a maths class, you need to solve something. So it's not that it's in reality you've got nothing, but giving yourself a moment in each day where you actually let go and think about, okay, what if I have nothing to solve? And you realize how much problem solving you're doing. Just in a moment where you're not even thinking about needing to solve, you don't think you're, you know, so you're just sitting down. It's like you get lost in thought thinking about, oh, but I need to do dinner. And think about how much time you've spent, I mean, everyone really, just thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner and that version of problem solving.
Yeah.
So it goes from the small level to, like, how do I fucking get out of debt?
Well, think about editing. Think about, like, when we're editing a video, how many clips are you using? How are you forming it all? What are you like? Mm. There are so many decisions that you're making. I definitely feel that I get to a point where I can't make any more decisions.
Mm. Yeah, you've definitely fatigue in your mind, or you're just like, it's fucking burnt you.
And so what? So what was the meditation? How did it sort of?
It's just embodying the feeling of, I don't have anything to solve. And you can pick it up when you're done. Pick it up after 10 minutes. But it's that the moment that you can feel inside, or you can have a sensation where it's you've dropped the problem solving, sort of, it's you've taken the foot off that pedal.
Yeah, so well, I think that I was talking to mates about it the other day around the social anxiety. For me, social anxiety is a problem-solving anxiety around being like, okay, I need to keep the conversation going. I need to do this. I need to be making sure that everyone's comfortable, all that sort of thing. I definitely feel that pressure going into, like, Christmas parties or events where it's like whenever I go somewhere, I feel the pressure of the room around, like, okay, is everyone having fun? What's going on? Like, is everyone talking? And so there is an element where if you can say, hashtag not my problem, and just go with it. It feels so weird though. Have you, like, I've done it before where I've gone to a party or I've gone to an event where I'm like, I'm not going to lead this. I'm just going to sit back. And it feels like I'm being weird.
Yeah, that's
feels,
so true.
It feels
so,
like I'm just like, yeah, what were you going to say?
So true. So it's like, if you're the person who naturally tries to grab hold of the wheel, say, you know, like you were talking about social setting. And so it's like, for me, it would be if we were going out with friends and no one really thought about where we're doing, and I'd organized, you know, let's go, let's meet here. But then you get the assumed position of you're leading the night.
Yeah.
And so the problem with doing that over and over is that you then try and take over someone else's night, or you're like, you go out with friends and then you just, you're trying to spearhead the next move. But that's all problem solving as well. And so you can get trapped in it. And so the similar vibe is if I just like, I'm not going to, I mean, it's even backseat driving. If you're with somebody in a car, like think about what that, where that comes from. If you're like, no, let's go this way instead of that way. It's like all.
What about organizing? Just like the other thing, like I remember testing this out where I'm like, I'm always fucking organizing everything. I'm just going to not organize anything, see what happens. You just don't do anything. But isn't it funny when people are like, oh, when are we going to do something? It's like, you know, you can organize something as well.
There is, but we've all got mates who don't organize shit. And whether you've been the enabler of their non-organization because you've organized it, that's something else to say. But then that's the hard bit when you go, you cut the expectation on other people to organize stuff. That's when we can get into some murky water and you can start getting dark on your mates because they're like, they don't fucking call me.
But that's why I have issues with like too many. Even I felt it like in the middle of the year when we were doing all of the Friday night drinks, the bigger that these things got, it was so many problems. I was like, because I'm seeing everyone's face. And so I'm like, is this person happy? Is this, you're having messages with everyone. You're, like it becomes, I think that my limit from a social setting, like a table perspective, is six.
Well, I think here's something for you. There's not a chance in hell you would have organized a Friday night drinks in person with 50 people every Friday night. If you put it that way, you're concerned about people you've never met. Yeah. We love them.
And DJ, and DJing the whole thing.
And DJing and getting criticism about the music choices and and being a bit pissed. And, you know, it's a
going through a pandemic as well.
It is. It is. No, there is a limit. Like I'm organizing a lunch with some mates in a couple of weeks' time and I'm shooting out some text messages and you get a couple
group message?
No, not group messages. It's not big enough to warrant a group message. I don't think that would... I wouldn't like a group message, so I'm not fucking sending a group message.
And so when you are doing, when you are organizing this, do you feel the pressure? So when you are organizing it, one of the advantages is you can leave out people that give you the shits, but it can be an unpopular thing to do. So you, this, it's this fine line of like not pissing anyone off. This is why this is the problematic thing of like big groups, because it's like the thing with groups, if you think about groups, like using that example, have you got a very specific group where it's like, okay, it's these four people or could it be so that, five, six, seven?
That was up until I was maybe 19 that that was the case where it was, you've got, I think it comes out of school a lot of the time.
As in and the big maybe groups? It
just, well, the groups, you know, those four people that you're with every weekend and it's like that is the vibe when you're hanging out with the group of the four. And so I remember being sort of shunned out of a few of those types of groups. And I was like, oh whatever. When started a
what
new
happened?
Group.
How'd you get shunned out?
Oh, you know, just a few egos flying about, just some insecurities. Ends up full circle, me sort of running another circle over here where that ends up being
from one circle
than the
jerk to the other.
Exactly.
Where they really respect triceps and fucking
mate,
abs.
Just, you know, they appreciate some good traps, you know, that's what we want. No, but the feeling of then it was the feeling of, oh, well, if I invite him, I have to invite him. Nowadays, I haven't seen enough people consistently that we don't, there's no group. So I just, it's just like a random whoever's in my space at this moment. And it doesn't mean anything. If you're upset you haven't been invited to a lunch, just ask. Can I come?
If that's oh, really? What it's... I'm never doing that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I don't have anyone that would be upset mm-hmm. yeah. or ask me that. Mm-hmm. So, can pretty I come? Safe.
Yeah, you can come. Nah, it's all good. I got the shit on. When is it?
The 12th. We're getting beers at the
pub. I've got something. The 12th every month for the next year, which is crazy.
But, beers at the pub, mate. Beers at the pub.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fun. Which pub are you going to?
Mount Erica.
Oh, yeah.
It's a...
What are they known for?
Oh, to be honest. So, a friend of mine owns it, but we're not getting any handouts. This is why I'm going there, to be honest. I saw on Instagram, someone mm-hmm. posted a photo of the schnitzel, and I'm fucking...
Oh, it looks good.
Mm-hmm. It looked, you know, that sort of... You get this sort of like slurry salad with it. Oh, just the crumb on it. Crumb looked amazing.
Yeah, great.
I mean, that sold. Mm-hmm. Sold.
What do you? I don't think we've discussed what you eat over Christmas. Like, do you crave certain things? What's Christmas Day look like?
I mean, last year, bacon eggs in the morning. That's been mm-hmm. a thing. Somehow, actually, just because we're up at Amy's mum's place, she mm-hmm. you know loves to get stuck into that. But there's just a lot of Lindt, you know, chocolate mm-hmm. hanging around in bowls.
Yeah,
and there's fucking Toblerone. Yeah. And next minute,
chocolate coated raspberries.
You don't even like Toblerone that much. Mm. Let's be honest. Mm. Be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You eat it because it's there. It's good chocolate. Mm-hmm. Tastes good. Yeah. Those bits get stuck in your teeth though. What the fuck are they? Yeah,
that's very
bits
annoying.
Of tough nougat.
Mm-hmm.
And weird shape, you know. Mm-hmm. What's going on with that? Why?
That's very true.
Why?
I'm trying to think of the savory wise, turkey with mayonnaise.
Turkey? I'd always have,
mayonnaise? Yeah. It's really good. Yeah. I don't have turkey any other time of the year outside. But the other thing, too, is I saw it once and it comes in like a log or something. You know those ones?
That is a version of it. Yeah. Or you can do a full turkey
type of thing. Yeah.
Definitely turkey. So the things that you don't... I mean, mate, I've never been a fan of Christmas pudding. Never.
What is it? Caramel? I don't even know what Christmas pudding is.
No, Christmas pudding. It's
I don't
like
know what it is. No.
Rum. It's got it. Like... You know the ones that are upside down and then they pour fucking rum on them? Light
yeah,
them on
I think
fire?
I've never... I think we had them back in the day.
Yeah.
But I never had them.
No good. I mean, people love it.
Mm. I mean, like the Cadbury stockings. Smash a few of them.
Advent calendars. I mean, they're going to be rolled out next week. Mm-hmm. Start from 1st of December, get your advent calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think like the I didn't drink for the first, 28 years of my life, just started drinking. Yeah. What is the what do you drink during Christmas? Like, are you an eggnog
last
guy?
Last year, nothing. Last year, nothing.
Oh, sure. Uh-huh.
Well, because I wasn't drinking. Mm-hmm. This year, I can't drink on Christmas Day. I'm too tired, man. For some reason, I'm always tired on Christmas Day. Yeah. Just lethargic, you know?
Yeah. It's just many social things, isn't it?
Just lethargic. That's mm-hmm. the Christmas spirit.
What do we think about? Here's an idea. Not doing the social and family things on Christmas, doing it within the month, but just sort of maybe that sort of means that it sort of spreads out longer. What do I
it
want?
Would. You don't want to do it. That's why it doesn't mean doing it earlier makes it feel different. Yeah, there is a different pressure though. We've had a mm-hmm. Christmas in July that felt better than any Christmas we've had, mm-hmm. which I think it's just like no stress. Mm-hmm. It's just was a bit impromptu, like get it together within a week, and then next minute everyone's like in the vibe, in a right vibe. Whereas Christmas Day, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, or
if I think about it, it's like the new shirt. Like I've got a new shirt that I'm wearing, like a collared shirt. So I put that on, feel like a top dog, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's normally some sort of anxiety about me leaving. And so then Bree will probably crack it and she'll go get coffee. And then she'll be ready when I'm back because we've got to leave. And then I'll probably, if I had some sort of gift, So, for instance, I mean, the bike's going to be coming a lot earlier than that, but
yeah,
getting obsessed on things or just working on stuff. I think a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago, it was like my YouTube channel. I was looking after my YouTube channel.
On getting Christmas Day.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I was doing that sort of stuff. And then I remember I remember one Christmas that it was cash only, I think, at the coffee shop.
Oh, yeah, a lot of cafes do that. Cash only on Christmas Day.
Because they do like, I think they donate it.
You mean they don't donate the tax money that they need to pay on it? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it was all like
you might be going to a nice one, but yeah. I just know a few that like to keep, you know, get a nice $1,000 that day because it's so busy in the mornings.
Right. And they deserve it this year. Me coughing just reminds me, walking this morning, had my big water bottle, started choking on my water. Not a good look during COVID. And so I ended up actually going off the path and went into the middle of the road and coughed there with my over. Because I was just worried that there's people on both sides of the path. I'd prefer to get hit by a car than have someone go, "Can you not cough?" Very stressful.
You'd get a bit aggressive inside. The walking with a water bottle, necessary?
Yeah, if you want to stay hydrated. Yeah. I have it because it just, it's a good way of unconsciously drinking, you know. It's a good way of getting it in. I put on a podcast, two podcast recommendations. One is A Hidden Brain is a great podcast.
Where was it?
Still finding it. But the podcast episode was all about gratitude. So I listened to that. And then the other thing I've been listening to is Scott Galloway. He's got a book called Post Corona. Interesting dude. He was the guy who wrote The Four, which was the book about, it's like Facebook, Apple, Google, and Amazon.
Oh, the Big Four.
The Big Four.
Yeah.
And so, but he was just on James Altucher's podcast, and they were talking about, you know, what the future could look like. Scott Galloway thinks that Airbnb are primed to pivot into the commercial real estate space.
Interesting.
Which is interesting. And
that would destroy it. Yeah. So
being able to rent spaces and stuff. But they also, Airbnb are about to IPO. And so they, it's interesting. The thing with the market, like all this, like you hear Trump saying, oh, you know,
the Dow
30,000 points 30, or whatever the fuck it is. But I find it hard to, like, I have no idea on this stuff. I don't understand it at all. And then I think about it, I'm like, but it, like, the detriment, there's so much obsession over that stuff. But it's like, if people are dying, if all this other stuff's happening, like, is it really a celebration? Is it really? Like, it's pretty fucked up.
Anyway, if you're a billionaire, I think you've got a pretty laser-focused reality to your side of the equation versus the other side.
I watched Melania Trump get their Christmas tree delivered yesterday.
Oh, that sounds like a good use of time. Yeah, Where can people find that?
Yeah, it's just on YouTube, the White House YouTube channel. She's just sort of standing there as they – do you know how the Christmas tree comes? Guess.
In a box?
No.
Or in a tube?
No. It's a fuck off. Like, it's a
proper, a real one.
A real one. Yeah.
Crane.
You probably won't guess. No, horse and cart. horse and cart. So
American taxpayer money going to somewhere.
Well, they do all this stuff. Like, there's so many weird things that happen in the White House. Like, even not relating to Trump, but just in general, they do the turkeys. They have turkeys that they pardon or whatever. So, turkeys that aren't going to die on Thanksgiving. Have you seen this? If you type death in row. Turkey pardon, you can watch the video of
Turkey pardon 2020. Oh, my God. It's Trump with a turkey. Those things are huge. And imagine if it just jumped on his face. Savaged him. Jesus. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. All right. It's a daily talk show. Enjoy the rest of your day and we'll see you tomorrow, guys. Have a good one.
See you guys.